This is Kelly Blewett. I'm delighted to be joined tonight by Christina Baker Klein, who is the author of 5 novels, including the number 1 New York Times best-selling Orphan Train. She lives outside of New York City and on the coast of Maine, and she's here today to talk about her newly released book, A Piece of the World. Like Orphan Train, A Piece of the World is based on a little-known part of American history. Welcome, Christina. Tell us about A Piece of the World.
So great to be here, first of all. A Piece of the World, my new novel, is the story of the relationship between an important American artist named Andrew Wyeth and the subject of his best-known painting, Christina's World, which hangs at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. The painting Christina's World depicts a woman in a pink dress sitting in a big grassy yellow field looking at this mysterious gray house in the distance. And if you Google the words Christina's World, you'll immediately see it. And by the way, you'll also see lots of parodies of it. But it's considered one of the great American paintings of the 20th century along the lines of, say, Grant Wood's American Gothic, the couple standing holding the pitchfork and James Whistler's mother is sitting in profile. Some works by Hopper are in that category as well, and Thomas Aikens. It's just this wonderful image.
So we have this connection between Christina Olson and Andrew Wyeth, who on the surface could not be more different. Isn't it right that they met whenever Andrew was about 22?
Yes, he was 22. His soon-to-be wife, Betsy, who introduced them, was 17 years old. And Christina was already in her mid-40s at that point. So he was a swashbuckling, glamorous figure, by all accounts, movie star handsome, with a lot of confidence and these piercing eyes and this great smile and this incredible talent. He had already been featured on the, you know, at 18 or 19, in fact. He had won some major international painting award and had been featured on the cover of a major magazine. So he came to her with some already sort of slightly famous, and she couldn't have been more different on the surface. You know, she was this rural woman with a degenerative disease that made walking difficult. She was uneducated. She had, you know, dropped out of school at the age of 12 to take care of her family, even though she was very smart. She was forced to leave school. Her father wouldn't let her continue. And she grew up on the coast of Maine. She didn't ever really go anywhere. So these two people seem very different, but Wyeth actually related to her. Fundamentally, he felt that they were similar. He also had a limp. He had had a disease as a child that made it hard for him to walk. He considered himself an introvert. He also was very quirky and stubborn, like many artists, as he said. He wanted to live outside the sort of strictures of conventional middle-class life, and so he was always railing against that. And Christina didn't live like that at all. She was far from his glamorous world. You know, Wyeth had grown up in a mansion with many cars. His father was a famous painter, but he identified with her and he liked her and he liked her lifestyle. So I think there was this quite intense connection in real life between them.
I think also the way that the house, which is featured in the painting, but also is something that is an object of fascination for Andy, and the place that Christina lives out her days, but is also intensely sort of ambivalent about, plays a really interesting role in the book.
It does. And in fact, another interviewer said that he felt when he looks at the house in that painting that it reminds him of the house in the movie Psycho. You know, in a similar way, because the two houses are mysterious, you don't know what's behind the windows. And Christina had an ambivalent relationship to this house. Her family lived in it for generations. Sea captains lived in it for generations. And it all began when her relative, many decades earlier, had been the presiding judge of the Salem witch trials, and he had put all these women to death a century earlier. And he was brutal and ruthless, and he was the only judge who never recanted. So to escape the taint of association, her relatives fled to the coast of Maine, and that house was built, and then her family had lived there ever since.
I really loved the sort of backstory of Christina's family that you just shared and how that really informs Christina's day-to-day life in the house and various sort of key moments where she has to make decisions or decisions are made for her. There's such a richness to her psychology. I wondered if you wanted to talk a little bit about how you got into her head.
The facts of the story are as accurate as I could make them. I did a ton of historical research for this book because, like, as with Orphan Train, I knew that readers might not know much about not only Christina, of course, they probably wouldn't know about her, but even about Wyatt. So I didn't want to take too many liberties with the facts. I wanted to show things as they really had happened, even in terms of Wyatt's relationship with Christina. However, it is a first-person narration, meaning I write from her perspective. Right. So, of course, I was not inside her head. And so her responses to things and the way she processes them, of course, has come from me. But as much as I could, I wanted to show what her world had really been like, the heartaches that had led her to this friendship with Wyatt, why she was open to having him in her life in the way he basically lived in their house for over 30 summers. So
right.
He was very present and she was really open to that and she loved it. But why was she open to it and what did she love about it? And, you know, frankly, if her heart hadn't been broken, if she hadn't ended up childless and single, and if she'd had a more conventional life, she wouldn't have had that kind of friendship with him that led to the painting of Christina's world.
I read in the press packet this totally tantalizing detail about what has happened to that painting. You mentioned that it was bought by the Museum of Modern Art, but that it's hung not really in a place that many people can see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a fascinating thing. So the Museum of Modern Art bought it immediately, as soon as it was finished in 1948. They paid $1,800 for it. By the way, it's now priceless. It doesn't travel because it's worth so much money that if anything happened, you know, it's uninsurable. It's one of their most popular paintings, and yet they seem to have a kind of ambivalent relationship to it. It doesn't really fit in their collection. You know, the Museum of Modern Art is all about kind of contemporary art and modernist art and pop art, and Christina is sort of orphaned in this hallway. I was talking to a prominent curator at another museum who used to work at the Museum of Modern Art, and he said, it's just a shame in a way that a museum like the Boston Fine Arts Museum doesn't have it, because they would probably dedicate a wing to it and they would contextualize it and they would mm-hmm. have other artists who both influenced Wyeth and were influenced by him and also who painted at the same time period, you know, American artists. And I will also say that Wyeth's reputation fell out of favor in the late 60s with pop art and minimalism and abstract art at the fore. He was seen as conservative and reactionary as an artist. But that reputation is being rehabilitated now, and there's this new book that I love called Rethinking Andrew Wyeth that's filled with pieces by curators and art historians about why he actually is an important artist. And they call what he does metaphoric realism. And yet, again, even though it seems to be kind of realist on the surface, it's very strange. And you feel, I think the reason it's caught the public imagination, the reason it's such a significant painting and that so many people know it, is that there's something about it that's very unsettling. And that's kind of where my book begins.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight to talk a little bit about your book, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
I've been talking to Christina Baker Klein, whose new book is A Piece of the World. And you can find out more information on our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.